The name of this Bible study is God. Who are you? Did you get that? All right. This is an answer. If you can get this answer inside your spirit, your life is going to change. And what I mean very simply is the reason why most people do not follow the Lord is for one reason. They do not recognize who He truly is. They don't have the concept. They can't get it inside of them. Who He is and what He's about and what He's trying to do. They totally miss it. God is not a piece of your emotions. Right? He is not somebody that you go to just when you're in trouble. He is the creator of the everything, including you. If you would take and get this inside of yourself right now, your life will dynamically change. You see, you think you've been in charge of your life to some degree. But I'm telling you that in your life, you have had very few decisions that have made a big difference. Mostly, you've been the puppet on the end of a string. Because the devil is just as real as God. And the devil has from the very beginning been out to do nothing but destroy you. And because you don't know much more about the devil than you know about God, you don't even recognize what's going on in your life. Today, I am going to try through the Word of God to give you a concept of who God is. There is a chance that you might begin to have a dynamic meeting with the God of the heavens and the earth, the creator of the everything, and begin to have a concept of who He really is. See, number one, He isn't somebody that you can manipulate because He knows your every heart throb. He knows your every emotion. He knows your every game before you ever play it. He has come and been one of us so He understands what we go through. And He is the God that created everything, including us, so He understands everything you're about. Today, you have to get a hold of this thought that He is real and dynamic and more tangible than anything else in the universe. You have got to quit looking at things through your carnal eyes and your sensory perception. And you have got to start looking at things through the Spirit. The Spirit was created first and then the flesh encompassed it. And you have got to shake loose that thought inside of you that your flesh reigns, because your flesh is the puppet and the Spirit of the Lord is the one that needs to control you. Your flesh is truly the devil's. But the Spirit inside was what God created. And if you will pay attention to it above what you think or what you see or what you hear, you are going to go far in the kingdom of God. Myself, I've been going through a period lately. I've been crying out to God, just asking Him, Lord, I want to get closer to You. Because in order for me to go further in the Lord, I have to get closer to Him. And in order to get closer to Him, I must shake loose this flesh that encompasses me. I must go further away from what I used to be. It's like my wife asked me yesterday, she got another one of my Harley shirts. And she said, well, you didn't want it anyway. And the truth is, I told her this, I go, I have got to get further away than I ever was from that person in order to get closer to who God wants me to be. You cannot keep hanging on to the stuff that you used to be about. There are some of you that have been hustlers all your life. And you need to loose that from your life because you cannot take that into God. If you want to meet the God of the heavens and the earth, you must become His child in truth and in fact. And you must have that desire to become His child. And today I'm going to read from you something that I was up late last night, and you know, it's not that I took a nap in the middle of the day. It's just that I was just in a place in my life where I was kind of trying to sort through to get to this next spiritual level that I have to get to. Amen. And sometimes you gotta be alone with the Lord when everybody's asleep or in bed in order to get to this place, because you can't have that outside interference. Because everything between you and God happens inside. So you must get to that place where you recognize that the best thing that can ever happen to you in your life is to die and be with Him. And then to learn how to seek Him with your everything. Who's God? You know, I mean, I went through that when I first got saved. This question that I have on this board, the name of this Bible study, is something I've sought since the day I felt His presence in a room in Linwood years ago that touched me, filled me full of His love, but I knew nothing about who He was. But He is real. He is more real to me than anybody or anything in this room. He is the one thing in my life that I have that is totally dependable and will never leave me nor forsake me, and loves me in the midst of everything I've ever done wrong. He showered me with His grace and mercy. He has true love, agape love. I was talking to the guy I work out with this morning, and he said that, what he asked me a question, he goes, what do you think about the statement that God created us to be an object of His love? And I thought to myself, I go, yes, God created us to love. But we are not His object. We are His children. It is much deeper than just being an object. We are a fulfillment of His desire to love. So you see, what we are is much, much more even than the angels. Because the angels are in submission totally. But He wants us to be more than just His servants. He wants to become our God and our best friends. See, I think if you could get a hold of this, that here is the one that you can pour yourself into and He will never spread it around. He's the one that you can tell Him your deepest secrets and He's going to keep them and He's going to help you to work through them. He's the one that's so much better than if you had a father He could ever be, because He knows exactly what you want. And He knows how to give it to you too. But I'm here to tell you, you can't manipulate Him. I'm here to tell you that you aren't going to get your own way, because He's not going to allow you to commit suicide. He's going to help you to become the greatest thing you can be, which is you and Jesus merged into one. You see, God is spirit. And you must worship God in the spirit. And you must forsake your flesh in order to get there. I am telling you that your sin nature, the flesh, has been exposed to the light, and it will recede if you will run to the spirit realm of God. You'll never get all the way away from sin, but as you grow in the love affair that God has planned for you, it will recede in your life. People ask me, can you live sin free? And I must answer you that we will always all make mistakes. But we'll make less and less if we draw closer and closer. Some people say, Dominic, you're a legalist. Not true. I'm a realist. I won't have sin in my camp because I know it destroys God's house. Amen. And if you are knowingly and willingly sinning, then you don't care much about God anyway. Read 1 John chapter 1 and 2 if you're wondering what God thinks about those things. I want to go today to the Old Testament. And we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 40. Now today, I want you to just take a walk with me through a few things that the Lord has written. Number one, we are His people, Israel. We have been grafted into the vine of Abraham through His Son, Jesus. He sent His Son so that we might become righteous in Him. So when He speaks the metaphors that you hear in the Old Testament, you need to listen in the singular person instead of the people person. Do you understand? Because when He's talking about the nation of, nation means people. Amen? And you are His people. Now remember, everything God speaks is spiritual. You were all in Egypt once and He came and got you. Right? You were all there and He came and got you and took you out of there. And if you went back, it's because you wanted to. And many of the people that came out with Moses wanted to go back too because it was familiar. Beware of your familiar ground. It is poison to your soul and death if you do not watch it. You must reject those things that were totally and embrace the one that would lead you out of that place into a new life. Hallelujah. Father, I love you, God, and let it be today, Lord, that God, your Holy Spirit reign in this place, Lord. God, I just ask you this morning above all things that it be you in your spirit presence in our lives that would come in and deliver to us this truth that has been exposed to us through your word. And God, let it be that it is true in this case that the word will come in and divide us between bone and marrow, between spirit and flesh, God, so that we might see your overall plan for our lives and the fact that the thoughts you have for us are good and not evil. And God, help us to learn who you are so that we might want to follow you with our everything. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, we're going to start in verse 1. I'm going to be reading a while. Now, this is what I want you to do unless you're sleepy. I want you to sit up straight in your chairs, and I want you to close your eyes. I am going to read this to you and ask that the Lord empower His Word in your spirit. Amen. I want everybody to close their eyes and think of Jesus. Oh, God, hallelujah. Lord, I just ask today that through your word and your word alone, impact come into their lives, God. God, I just ask right now that it be your word spoken in a way that only you can do so that they might find out who you are and what you'd have to be in their life today. Jesus. Comfort, yes. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her, to my people, that her warfare is ended. Your warfare is an end. That your sin has been pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Your sins were put on the back of Jesus. And because Jesus came today, your sins are vanquished. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. God is going to come in and make your path straight. And He's going to take the mountains out of your life and smooth it for you if you will let Him. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. If you will seek Him, you will see the glory of the Lord in your life. That is His desire for you. The voice said, cry out. And He said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Cry out to Him. Touch Him. Feel His presence in your life. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him. You have 7,000 blessings in the Bible that are promised to you if you will follow Him. You can walk in His blessings every day of your life, if you will be obedient to Him. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young. If you are weak, He will strengthen you. If you've been wandering, He will gather you. Who has measured? God is so infinite. He is the Creator. Everything you see was made by Him. Get a sense of who He is in your life. Quit trying to do it on your own and let Him do it in you. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? How great do you really think you are compared to Him? Measured heaven with a span, just slung out His arm and measured heaven, and He was not done. He's so great. And calculated the dust of earth in a measure. He knows everything. Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in balance. Envision in your mind how great a being it must be that can do these things. And then remember that. When you face your problems, how can your problems ever compare with the greatness of God who created the universe? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as His counselor has taught Him? Who is greater? Nobody. With whom did He take counsel? And who instructed Him? Nobody. And taught Him in the path of justice? Nobody. Who taught Him knowledge? Nobody. And showed Him the way of understanding? Nobody. He is God. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And there is none like Him. And you cannot outthink Him. And you cannot outgive Him. He is the man. Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket. You hear about wars and people fighting, and God is saying that is all as a drop in the bucket to Him. It means nothing. And are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. He can pick up islands and toss them wherever he wants. He is magnificent. He is omnipotent. He is the wonderful, the God that we serve. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor is beast sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. When you try to evade God, it is so futile. You must just embrace God and get the blessings that he wants to give you. You must quit fighting him. You must quit opposing him. And you must embrace him. To whom then will you liken God? Who would I liken God to? Or what likeness will you compare him to? The workman molds an image. The goldsmith overspreads it with gold. And the silversmith casts silver change. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. What is the God you have made in your life that is of something, but is not of God? Is it another man or a woman? Is it a job, a drug, or a thing? You see, there is one God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He is sovereign. He is sovereign. He is God. You got to get that. You got to get the fact that he is sovereign. He is God. It is like, the only thing I can say is a word. I hope you, excuse me, pissing in the wind. You are so futile, and the world is so futile in all the things that they do compared to the glory of God. There is nothing on earth and nobody on earth that can do anything that is comparable at all to God. Your best things you ever done in your life are as nothing. He is God. Scarcely, he says, he makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stalk take root in the earth, when he also will blow on them. And they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Who are you comparing him to? Because he has no comparison. You got to get God out of whatever you think your boxes you put him in. And recognize that he is not in a box. A lot of people say to me, God can do this and God can do that, but God wouldn't do this and God wouldn't do that. Let me tell you something. He is God. You are not the one to judge whatever he does. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. He is challenging you to get yourself out of yourself and raise your eyes unto him, so that you might see the truth. Who brings out their host by number? He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He don't get tired, and He don't get tired of listening to you. You're the one that gets tired of talking to Him. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now open your eyes. Of all the Bible that I've read, and I've read this book, 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 to my best knowledge, this is the best description of who God really is. He has three parts. It is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And people seem to get confused by this. But to me, it's not confusing at all. Are we not made in God's image? Does the Bible not say we are made in God's image? It's true, isn't it? Well, let me explain to you in the end, after explaining to you the greatness of God to the best of my ability through the Word of God, I want you to get a grasp on this. God the Father is the intellect, the planner, the one that made all things what are. God the Son is the heart of God. He's the compassion. He's the one that died for you. And God, the Holy Spirit, is like your body. He is the one that does the work. Now, because you feel bad for a person, your brain goes, what can I do? So you go to Burger King and buy a hamburger with your body and give it to that person. You and God are both triumphant beings, which means you are three parts. And God is three parts. And what is so hard to understand about that? The Bible says we have been wonderfully made in the image of God. God would have us not to believe that we are just an object of His love. But we are the total embodiment of His love. He made us as He is. He doesn't want us to be under the thumb. He wants us to soar with Him. The reason why we have a problem is because we're in our flesh, and our flesh is weak. But the Spirit of the Lord in us can overcome our flesh. Why? So that we might reign with Him as kings in this world and the world to come. You see, God is so great, He's not zealous of His position. He is the one inviting us, come and be with me, in with me, in my position. Share my throne with me. Share my blessings with me. Share my greatness with me. But you see, we got to shake off this flesh. And of all the things that we are, I'm going to tell you right now, it took me a long time. And I'm not there. And my best description is totally inadequate as far as who He is. But I'm telling you today that this description that is in Isaiah 40 gives you a sense of who He is. And someday soon, we're going to be with Him. But God doesn't just got blessings for you when you got there. I'm going to tell you right now, there are too many people in the church that are waiting to go to heaven because they're too lazy to do something now. But God wants to empower you for now. So that you'll enjoy your time here. You know, you're going to go through things. I'm not going to tell you about a perfect life. But I'm going to tell you that what God has planned for you is a great life. It's a gift. And if you believe God is good, which you must believe, why would He give you a bad gift? You know, in my valleys, when I'm going through the pit, is when I get the closest to God. And I struggle to stay close to Him because I believe if I don't stay close to God, He will allow me to go into another pit so I'll get close to Him again. Are you hearing this? We go through self-made valleys sometimes because we wander away from His truth. But I'm here to tell you today that God is awesome. God is love. God loves you more than you can possibly imagine. And He is far greater than the biggest imagination in this room has. And I know I got some of the best in here. You see, people, you must get a sense of who God is and the fact that He has a plan for you. He made angels. Whoop-dee-doo-doo. You hear me? That wasn't His peak creation. You were. You have the right to reign with God. He has given you and you alone the right to be one with Him. But without this sense of who God is and what He desires from you, you won't get there. My God is not the one with the club hanging over your head. Although He can be a God that will avenge wrong. My God is the one that loves you so much He's given His all so you can have a great life. You're the one that chooses whether you're going to have a great life. You see, I woke up this morning. I was up late last night. Late. Oh, God, help me, God, to get over this hurdle. Help me. He has so many things for me to do, and I don't want to fail Him. You know, I'm in the weight pile. It hurts. But the only reason I'm doing that is because I got to get in shape so I can make the run. You understand? You got to be there, body, soul, and mind. Because if your body isn't right, neither is your mind. You see, you are a triumphant being made to work as a unit. And if one part is dysfunctional, your whole spiritual life is dysfunctional. People, we are never going to be perfect. We're never going to be God. But He would have us to be in Christ. And in Christ, we are perfected with God. The desire He has for us is to mount up with wings as eagles and soar and not be in bondage to the things around us, but to be totally free of all the things on this earth so that we might do great works in Him and through Him. You see, people, He loves you so much. He wants you to be part of Him, which is much more than just being an object made by Him. I'm going to close with this. When I was a heathen, which wasn't that long ago, and I remember I was really out there one night, I was being an intellectual in my own pitiful little way. And it was pretty pitiful. I think now, and I look back on it, and I've never forgotten this. It's like I was sitting there in a stupor, which was normal for that time of my life. And I kind of got this sense that I was a part of something greater than I could ever imagine. And because I did go to some amount of school and science and different things. I mean, I took, you know, algebra, calculus, trigonometry, different things. I never had a problem learning. It was always easy for me. You understand? God gave me that gift of being so smart that I'm extremely stupid. You know what I'm saying? Some of your smartest people are the most ignorant suckers you're ever going to meet. Prison's full of geniuses. Ask me. I've been in there. It's true. But I was sitting there in this super one day, and I was just sitting there doing the normal thing that most people, why am I here? I didn't know God. I didn't know nothing about God. But it's like I just got flooded one day, and it was like I was showed, you know, I went back to my science days, and I started exploring, you know, the atoms, right? And neutrons, and the different parts of an atom, and how you put it all together, and it becomes molecules. And then molecules make up mass. You understand? And you know what, people? I really think that the thing that I was being shown at that time is we are all supposed to be part of God. You understand? That we may just be a smaller part, but we are great in God. That God, I believe, was showing me in my heathenistic way at the time that the whole reason why we're here is not to be about that individual thing, but to be about that God thing. That we are all glued together into His body. And that all those little parts and all those little atoms and all them little molecules, when they're put together, become the greatness of what God really is. Because He did not make us an object. He made us in His image. And we are to fit into that body and be all that we can be. Because we can be one with Him and Him one with us. And He has offered that to nothing else on this earth. Not the angels, not the fallen ones, not the animals, not the mountains, not the valleys, not the oceans, not the birds, nothing. He gave it to us. We are a privileged people. God did not want us just to be out there flopping around. He wanted us to come in and be a part of Him. And that is the best description I can give you of who God is today. Because I am in Him and He is in me. And we are one. And if you can get a sense of this in your life, what greater love could it be that would make a place and open up a spot and put you in there? That is the God that I serve today. And that is the God that is not sitting there with a stick, but He's always, come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me. Learn. Quit being stubborn. Come and be with me and find my goodness for your life. Come and be with me and see what great things I have planned for your life. Quit being a knucklehead. Get over here. Why? Because that is the embodiment of love God has planned for your life. This is probably the best that I'll ever do in describing who I believe God is. It's probably the best I'll ever do in trying to give you the understanding of what His love really means. And yet, in my everything, I know I've fallen so far short of it's that sense I cannot give to you. You see, and if you can't feel it, you got to get it. Because that's when you're going to know that you are really in Him. See, I yearn and I ache for His presence in my life. And I mean, it's almost a physical pain sometimes where I just sit there and I cry out, God! God, help me! Because He is so real. He is tangible. He is touchable. But only in the spiritual realm. You know, I used to watch people, and I'm going to close again. I used to watch people when I got saved and they'd still whore around and stuff. And I'd be going, no, you don't understand. No, you don't get it. No. Because you see, we've got to forsake our flesh and kill it so that we can begin to perceive the spiritual truth that God has planned for our life. Drugs, all that stuff, even that promiscuousness is all the devil's way of keeping you away from that oneness that can come from knowing God in truth and in fact. See, you're being robbed. If you had somebody come into your house and take your stereo, half of you would probably shoot them. And yet, you just open yourself up and let the devil come in and rape and pillage your life and think it's fun. You see, you need a sense of what God wants to do in your life. He wants to make you one with Him. One. To be one with God. To be one with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. To be one. Much more than regular love. Much more than friendship. Much more than all that. But to be a part of Him in fact and in truth. That is the desire of the God I serve for me and for you. Think about it today as we're out and about. Think about the way I described the atoms, the nucleus. I'm telling you, I really believe that is the essence of God's plan for our lives. But we aren't going to make it into that place and have that feeling if we do not yearn for it with our everything. I love the Lord. How many people believe that? Father, I just ask you today, Lord, that you touch every person in this room. That God, you fill them full, God, of everything that you might have. And Lord, I just ask you especially right now that you just touch us, Lord. God, keep tugging, never let go. Help us to be that one that you would have us to be. Show us, Lord, what it is we need to do in order to get closer and closer to you. And then, Lord, give us the strength to make those decisions that will bring us to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.